Good evening, and welcome to the second KABU Forum for the candidates running for the station's board of directors. I'm Cicely Rogers.
And I'm Randall Howington. KABU is a democratic institution, and our board of directors is elected by our members. If you are a member and haven't yet received your ballot in the mail, please contact KABU's membership department by calling 503-231-8032 extension 207 during business hours. If you have received your ballot in the mail, pull it out and follow along as we hear from the different candidates during the candidate forums. This is a two-part forum. Judy Feistel and Marty Sowerman were heard yesterday at 7, and tonight we're going to hear from the rest of the candidates.
In addition, all of the candidates have been invited to participate in a reception for board election candidates on Saturday, September 12th from 4 to 6, just down the street from KABU's book and record sale. KABU voters are invited to stop by after the book and record sale. The address is 2105 Northeast Everett, number 4.
If you have a question for the candidates during this forum, you can call and participate by dialing 503-231-8187 anytime during the forum. Tonight, we'd like to welcome Michael Papadopoulos, Paula Small, Mimi Viarki, Scott Forrester, Nia Lewis, Chris Andre, Maura Cullen, and
Glenn Owen.
We have a number of questions for the candidates, and we'll have each candidate answer each question in turn. And please state your name each time you speak so our listeners know who's talking. Also, please keep your comments brief, as we have a number of candidates, and we would like to make sure everyone has an equal opportunity to speak. Cecilia?
Okay, you all ready?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to start with you, Mimi.
Okay.
What is your interpretation of the KABU programming charter, and what will you do to live up to that programming charter?
Okay, so I see the KABU programming charter as providing news that no one else provides, news about all kinds of topics that need to be talked about and that won't otherwise be talked about. I will promote that in my daily life in KABU. I believe in providing that kind of news.
Okay. Did you want to add anything about maybe some ideas you have to do that, or?
I don't have any specific ideas to be outlined at this point, but I'm always thinking of new ideas, and I'm open to ideas.
Okay. Next, that was Mimi Viarki. Next, we have Paula Small with the same question. Where do you, which is about the KABU programming charter and what you will do to live up to that programming charter.
That's a very good question. Actually, like Mimi, I don't have any specifics other than to support the programmers who do want to foster and protect and encourage the programming charter in providing a voice to the voiceless and providing an outlet for news, whether it be local or international, as KABU does currently and hopefully will continue to do. Whether that means reinforcing the programming committee, reinforcing training so that programmers across the board have the exact same training in order to, again, live up to the charter, whatever that means, I plan to do that as a member of the board, hopefully.
Okay, thank you, Paula Small. Next, we have Glenn Owen. Glenn, what is your interpretation of the KABU programming charter, and what will you do to live up to that charter?
Well, I see the four other candidates in the reform platform as being an important issue. Essentially, Chris Andre and I see things pretty much the same way in terms of what's important in the news and things that are not covered on KABU frequently. And in terms of the internal management of the station and of the board, I think the way Scott was treated last year, merely insisting that they observe their own bylaws, is a very bad sign. So I think the two really important candidates are Chris Andre and Scott Forrester.
Okay.
And if elected, I will serve. But I think that Maura Cullen And George Papadopoulos had a better chance than I have. So they speak for me in all things.
Okay, so you do not have an interpretation of the KABU programming charter and
not
what you'll do to live up to it?
Not that differs materially from theirs.
Well, in the event, okay, well, we can, that's fine, we can move on. So next we have Scott Forrester, same question.
Yes, I know the question. Let's save some time. So my name is Scott Forrester, and please vote for me. And, you know, we're part of a slate. I can't speak for Chris Andre, but certainly Michael Papadopoulos and myself, as well as Maura Cullen, we're running together. We consider Chris Andre, I do personally, as well as a number one. There are four seats, and that's the slate of four. In terms of the program charter, it's for the unserved and the underserved, and there's always people with need. So the folks listening out there, you know if you're not being served. KABU can do a lot better. It's not the quality that I'm concerned about. I want KABU to be community radio, and frankly, with a lot of syndication that I've seen of late, no matter how good a quality it is, if it's not from here, it's not from us, the community. And there is no substitute for a physical radio presence with our own community members. So that's my interpretation of the charter, and I'll bring that to the board again.
Okay, I just have a brief question. You talked about the importance of having community members served who are the un and underserved. Do you have any concrete ideas or things that you'll do to elicit engagement with people from members of those communities?
Well, good question. I hope the others get an opportunity as well. I would just briefly say we have a program committee. That we certainly should continue to encourage people. We don't keep minutes of all of our committees. I mean, you know, they're supposedly working on behalf of all of the 50,000 listeners and 5,000 members. Basic concept is transparency, accountability. We need to keep minutes. We need to record at a radio station, record the meetings, and post them on a member's website that can be accessed through a password so that we don't have to come from Albany or from the Gorge to be able to participate in KABU, and then we can use email for the rest. Thank you.
Okay. Next, Michael Papadopoulos,
yes.
Same question.
My name is Michael Papadopoulos, and I strongly believe in the programming charter and KABU's job to help the underserved. I want to, if I'm elected, I will work to end KABU's reliance on imported programs. I have a pain every evening with Danny, whatever it's called, from San Francisco or Berkeley, telling us all about the shows that are going on in San Francisco at Yoshi's. We do not have 5 nights a week, 1 hour, telling us what is going on in Portland or even what is going on in Oregon. That's one thing I work to change. I also support Scott's request that minutes be published of everything that is recording a meeting. We've had governance meetings with no minutes. We've had board meetings with no minutes. The February minutes are not on the web. The August minutes are not on the web. I try to inform myself to see how those people are serving the community they're supposed to serve. That will do.
Okay. Nia Lewis, same question. Your interpretation of the KABU programming charter and what you will do to live up to that charter.
Thanks. My name is Nia Lewis, and I think that the KABU programming charter does deal with the un and underserved, and the KABU News and Public Affairs specifically provides a forum for unpopular, controversial, or neglected perspectives on important local, national, and international issues that ultimately reflect KABU's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, all this stuff, multiculturalism, environmentalism, and freedom of expression and social change. These are all things that no matter what program you're listening to at KABU, that you should be getting out of it. So what I will do to live up to that charter is in the programming that I do, I currently volunteer on the news, and I make sure that that is absolutely there during each newscast. And I would also like to challenge KABU listeners, if you're not hearing something that you feel like you're being served or if you feel like you're being underserved, then step up and, you know, KABU is a community radio station. We're great. We're here for you. You can come in. You can create that program that's missing, and the community will be better served at large.
Okay, thank you, Nia. Maura, we're going to ask you the same question, and I was wondering if perhaps, since you were on a slate with some of the others, if you could maybe talk about what demographics you all feel are unserved or underserved, in addition to talking about your interpretation of the KBOO programming charter.
Good, hi. Thanks, Cicely. Well, I think KBOO's uniquely placed to do things that other media can't do. And, you know, there are things we do well, there are things we could do better. I thoroughly agree with Scott and Michael that we should try to become more transparent and make more information about the running of the station available to our owners, the listeners. I think the more information they have, the more involved they're going to get. And that's one of the things I would strive for the most, is to get our listener base, our members, more involved in the life of the station, with an effort towards more transparency, i.e. the minutes and like that. I've often found in the 18 years of working around KBOO that it's difficult to get timely information about what's going on here. Very often I'm like, oh, who's that person? Where did they come from? When did they show up here? And it can be difficult if you don't spend a lot of time on it. And that's something I know a lot of our owners don't have. So I think it'd be great if we could work on, you know, maybe having a once-a-month program all about the inner workings of KBOO. I've also recently joined the program committee because I'm interested in finding out how that works. And I'm concerned about levels of accountability and democracy here at KBOO. So I would always try to encourage more of that from all of our committees and make sure that the listeners are as involved as we can get them in all the decisions about programming, which after all is the only product we produce. So that should be at the forefront of all the decisions that we make. And I'm looking forward to learning on the job, but I have a lot to bring. I've worked with a lot of different groups. I've founded a number of different Irish political and social justice groups. So I know a lot about outreach, fundraising, how to work with other people, consensus building. And I'm looking forward to an opportunity to do all that if people will support me with their vote.
Okay. Thank you, Maura Cullen.
Thank you.
So we're going to go on to the next. Chris Andre. Can you hear us, Chris?
Hello, yes.
I wasn't trying to ignore you. I had no idea you were there.
I'm right here.
Hello, Chris Andre.
Hello, good evening, everyone.
So the question that we have for you is concerning your interpretation of the KBOO programming charter and what you will do to uphold that charter.
Well, first off, the KBOO programming charter is, as I agree with the other candidate who said that it was, in fact, an extraordinary document, and the goals that it sets forth are worthy of deep consideration, and we definitely, it would behoove all of us to be familiar with them on paper, but remember that, of course, it's a map, it's not the territory. The territory, of course, is our membership and our programming. And I also agree with Michael Papadopoulos and with Scott Forrester and Glenn that and of course Moira too, that transparency is key to bringing members into the whole process. I think that there is, that members that I've spoken with have felt that they're asked to, you know, ante up during membership drives, but in the rest of the time, there is not a great deal out there for them. There are not many roles really to play. In the interest of transparency, and I'll try to be brief because it's a, you know, long haul, I'd love to see a members ombudsperson appointed who would attend all meetings and would report back to members on what actually, how, you know, how the sausage is really made. That's point number one. Secondly, the our mandate to serve the unserved needs to be looked at very carefully. We are a radio station, and we provide programming is what we provide. That is our product. defining the unserved as people just like us that haven't become members yet is doing ourselves and potential members a grave disservice. The underserved are people who don't know about the station, and if they were to become involved, if they were to become listeners and then members, that they would be able to play an active role. I think that the underserved are people, for example, in the West Hills, in the most unlikely places. There are people everywhere who have open minds, lively curiosity, and a strong belief in life's possibilities. We haven't reached those people. We haven't done, we haven't used the mainstream media in ways that we could use it to get our message out. Traditionally, insurgencies are successful when they seize and subvert to their own ends the tools and, I use this word, I guess ironically, weaponry, of the oppressor. In other words, we should be sending out press releases. We should be inviting people from the national affiliates to events at KABU. They will cover it. They will do it if we inform them, if we try to be inclusive, if we reach out to people in unlikely places, and we stop defining ourselves necessarily as a community. We're in the future now. That word has served us up to this point. But the community now, in many ways, thanks to the web, is very much larger, potentially is very much more inclusive. And everybody is our community. It used to be, I believe, in my experience, watching the evolution of KABU over the years, an inviting concept. It now seems to be a closed door. Many people feel that they're not part of the KABU community and they're not invited in. We need to blow those doors right off the hinges. Everyone's welcome. Love to see an ombudsperson, and the KABU charter is something that
I'm going to have to ask you
to uphold.
Okay, excellent.
All right, let's go on to another question. And the way we're going to do this, we'll do this progressively, so everybody will have a chance to be first and everybody will have a chance to be last. The next question, I'm going to start with Paula. What experience do you have in group decision-making? What strengths do you bring to that dynamic? And where do you see you could improve how you do that?
Okay,
And if I may, please tie that into if you're any experiences you currently have with any committees you might be on here at the station.
Okay, great. Thanks. Question. Thank you. This is Paula Small, and I am currently a member of the Finance Committee. I'm currently the chair of the Finance Committee, and have also been appointed as the treasurer until this upcoming election, since there was a very quick vacancy. So as far as group decision making, I've been involved with KABU and serving and hopefully serving and representing the members in assessing and affirming information, especially on the Finance Committee, with regards to the operations, the budget, and other financial details of KABU. My brief time with the board has been very brief, so it's been more of an observation than an actual active role as such. But I do bring, the strengths that I bring are, as has already been said, like consensus building, decision making, efficient decision making. My goal, hopefully, if I'm elected, is to be able to not only bring the transparency that everyone has been talking about that I also believe in, but also to bring it about in an efficient manner so that the minutes are published on a timely schedule and that every member, every non-member, it's open to the general public. So that information is available, again, on a timely schedule and not, as everyone has mentioned, in this sort of haphazard piecemeal sort of way. as has currently been done, because there have been so many changes within the station since I've been here as a volunteer. So those are my strengths. And basically to improve, I guess I could improve upon just my overall knowledge of the station. I've been with KBOO since this year, so it's been a relatively short time. And while I may not have the experience as some of the other candidates with being a volunteer and active within the KBOO community, I am a community member. And I believe that being active outside of KBOO is just as important as being active within. And I hope to improve in my more active roles if I'm elected as a board member.
Thank you. Glenn,
thank you.
Same question. What experience do you have in group decision-making? What strengths do you bring to that dynamic? Where do you think you could improve? And tie that in with any committee participation you've had or currently have.
Again, I'm going to defer to Chris Andre and Scott Forster. I will say this. I understand that KBOO is not planning to put up these candidates' forum on their own website, and I will be putting them up on a website that I have, my own personal domain, CascadiaPublicRadio.org, and they will also appear on the in the Cascadia Public Radio section of RadioForAll.net and Archive.org.
According to my information, if I may just step in, last night's forum is available on the website right now, and I can only assume that tonight's will be also. For your listeners out there, please check the website, and hopefully it will be there. Thanks.
I'd like to thank Glenn for doing what he's doing, nevertheless.
Right on, right on. So, Scott, same question.
I got the question there, Randall. Thank you. I have a degree in business. I served on the board last year until my removal, and I'm going to get to that. Also, the fact that I helped to found a 501c3 nonprofit environmental groups, did about 15-plus years of radio money on the environment. So I have some experience, served on governmental committees. Now, one of the differences between myself and the current board, other than the three new appointees, is that I'm willing to stand up for the members of KBOO and make sure the organization follows the laws pertaining to nonprofit organizations, including member oversight and access to the organization's records as required by law. That's the reason many of the current board members, including Chair Judy Feistel, are defendants in what is known as a derivative lawsuit. The incumbent, Judy Feistel, probably doesn't want you to know about the derivative lawsuit, but a derivative action is where an action is brought on behalf of the organization by its members to address violations of law by individual board members, and the court prevents the illegal activity. The parties bringing that type of lawsuit do so only to bring about legal compliance, not to get any personal benefit or money. So Michael Papadopoulos and myself are bringing this derivative suit. I'm almost ready to finish here. I will say that I'm one of the parties who filed the derivative action on behalf of you, the members of KBOO, to address a number of violations of nonprofit law by some of the current board members, and I'd be happy to share a copy of that lawsuit to anyone who wants a copy, as it explains the type of behavior that we need to change by the current board. If you want a copy, just give me your address or email, and you can send any emails to clackamas9@aol.com. Check my statement. My personal phone number at home is 503-492-1593. And lastly, you can go to www.kboo.savegrassrootsradio.org for a copy of the legal complaint. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I just want to one more question. You talked about your experience and your strengths. Where do you think you could improve in group decision making?
Well, I think groups have to respect minority opinions. You know, it's interesting how we want to preach, how we want to have inclusiveness by those that are not included. That means that not just minorities, but religion, differences of opinion. Now, I can respectfully disagree with folks, but to remove me from the board is to remove my voice when I was elected last year directly by the membership. Portland City Council, as an example, if, let's say, Randy Leonard is unpopular for some stance he takes, or the mayor for some stance he takes, imagine if there was a provision in the law that said that a majority of the folks that were elected could remove a directly elected official just by a majority of the people on City Council. That's what we have here.
I understand that you think that's problematic, but where do you think that you could improve in group decision-making? What could you improve upon? Or do you feel confident that you're good to go?
I think I'm good to go in that if we all have equal time and respect for differences of opinion, and also more importantly, don't just move to a radical concept of exclusion and banishment, that in fact that doesn't solve the problems of a communication media outlet that we're in. And I appreciate your question.
Okay.
Michael, what's your experience in group decision making? What strengths do you bring to this dynamic? Where could you improve, and what previous or current committee activity have you had?
I've stated that pretty fully in the candidate's statement, which I hope everybody reads carefully, together with a statement at least of Judy Feistel to see why she's running and why I'm running, and of Scott Forrester to see why he's running, and Glenn Owen to see why he's running and to see what strengths they have. Their statements speak for themselves. What I've learned from several years of group experience is that a group which is involving itself in activism fails to listen to its background community at its own peril. A body that is making decisions is supposed to listen to its members. It is supposed to respect its membership. It doesn't respect an abstract piece of mistletoe or abstract religious symbol. It's supposed to go to the members to find out what they want and to do what they want. And that's the reason why I brought a suit against this board of directors, which does not care to listen to the members. And that's why this lawsuit is going on.
Wonderful.
Yes?
Okay, Nia.
Yes, hi.
Same question. Group decision making, what are your strengths? Where could you improve? What are your current or previous involvements in committees?
Well, currently I am working with the board for the past several months, and it has been an enlightening experience. I've definitely learned a lot about decision-making and how it pertains to KABU. Previously, I've had experience with, philanthropic organizations in college, and also professionally with staff meetings. But also, I was trainer for an equity leadership team, which decided processes for equity and diversity, incorporating that into the community that I was currently working with at the time. But that is also something that I imbue into every aspect of, whatever work I'm doing. So in order to improve, I think I could voice my opinions more when it comes to making sure that transparency, like we've all been talking about, is actually getting executed. That is very important, and it doesn't seem to be currently living up to its potential. So working on that. As far as my strengths are concerned, I'm a great listener. I like to hear all sides, so I do like to hear that minority opinion. And once I have gained enough knowledge as to what's going on for all sides involved, I like to try and be as objective as possible once I've acquired that knowledge. So overall, I think that I'm adept at decision-making and can be an asset to the KABU board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mara, you said you're currently on the programming committee.
Right.
So same question to you about your experience in group decision-making.
Thanks. Well, I've had quite a bit of experience organizing, particularly around Irish issues of social justice, and that's a bit like herding cats, so I think that's a valuable bit of experience. I founded the Committee for Free Speech on Ireland here in Oregon, and I think that shows my great love of freedom of speech. And I also was a founding member of the Oregon chapter of the Irish American Unity Conference, which is a national group. I was elected president of that group for a number of years. And so I think my experiences in those groups will definitely translate to this. This is also a non-profit area that we're dealing with here. I've been around KABU for 18 years. I've worked with some of the founders of the station, and I think I have a great respect for KABU's history and traditions, as well as a great eagerness to do outreach to all the underserved communities that we talked about, and also to more empower the listeners, to give them more of a say over what goes on. And I agree with Scott and Michael and Chris and Glenn. I will be supporting Scott and Chris and Michael myself in this election. And I think that we need to have some due process. And I don't think anybody should be able to be removed simply by the board for no cause when they're elected by our owners, our listeners, and we need to respect their wishes. So I would like to see that little rule put to rest. And as far as improving, I think as I come to find out more about what's going on, I'll be able to improve my decision-making about how I feel KABU should go forward in the future. I'm looking forward to the chance to learn things that one can only learn by participating in the life of the station.
Thank you. Thank you. Chris, are you still out there on the phone? Same question to you. I know you've been involved here quite a bit in the news department. Talk a little bit more about your experience in group decision-making, committee work you might be involved in. Where do you think you can improve? What are your strengths?
Okay. In San Francisco, I created an experiment in communal living that went on for about 10 years. It was a floating community of people involved in the arts. And every day was a festival of consensus building. That's how we basically survived. In the past, of course, I've worked with a variety of nonprofits, of 501c3s, mainly in Santa Barbara, organizing film festivals. In San Francisco, we started a parent-run preschool co-op. I've written and designed promotional materials and created guerrilla marketing campaigns for marginal undertakings that were involved in social justice issues in San Francisco as a partner in a consulting firm. Participated in launching the Bay Area's first women's bank and its first African-American bank. And I've lived all over the world. I've lived in Greece, North Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, usually as a journalist. I would say, and I would agree with a number of the other candidates, that knowledge of the station, the deep structure, is central. There is a direct one-to-one correspondence between this and the contribution that any given candidate can make. For starters, this way we don't repeat past mistakes. And in many ways, there really is no substitute for experience, because that's where the greatest creativity happens. Regarding my weaknesses, I would say time management, prioritizing time. I have a busy life, and I tend to, when I'm involved in one area or aspect of that of my life, I am completely absorbed in it. So that's something that I would work on. And I agree with the candidate who said that, Moira, I believe it was, who said that learning is one of the key skills that a candidate has to offer. I also am a good listener. I listen to everyone, not just people in a position of power, but I like to listen to members, non-members, people actually who hate the station. I'm curious why they hate it. And curious, of course, why they like the station. I'll keep it very brief, and that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Mimi.
This is Mimi. So part of my decision-making experience has to do with education and leading groups of teenagers and children through foreign countries. On one of them, we were on a camping trip for 3 weeks through Italy and Greece, and every day we were discussing, so who's going to cook? What are we going to make? How are we going to, you know, do it logistically? And at each point, you know, we, the leaders, the adults, we basically made a decision, but we talked about it with the kids always. we said, this is what the plan is. Does anybody have another idea? Does anybody have a suggestion? And I think that this is an important process in all decision making. I'm on the development committee. At least I've been going to the meetings for the last 5 months. It's possible my name isn't on the list. And I've been gradually edging to getting to be more involved in the decisions and not just, you know, being present in the meetings and giving my opinion. But so I'm looking forward to continuing with that. As far as my weaknesses, when everybody starts talking and mouthing their opinions at the same time, I start to get quiet. And I think that can be a mistake.
Especially here at KBOO.
Yeah, especially here. So I am working on that. I think also I think a weakness that everybody has is that when you have so many opinions in a room and you have to make one decision, it's hard to reconcile everything, everyone. And a lot of times people just like throw their hands up in the air and it's like a dead end. And I really seek to find solutions to the dead ends in, you know, in life, in KBOO. That's something that I'm working for, because I think you can't really get to any solution if at a certain point on the path everybody, you know, agrees to disagree.
Well, I want to interject here. Yesterday, Judy Feistel named three of us candidates.
Actually, Michael, I'm going to step in right now because we need to take a little bit of break. We need to let everybody know that you're listening to KBOO FM 90.7. I'm going to look at Matt, the engineer. Could you pull up IR233 real quick? Thank you. This is the second part of the board candidates forum. Go ahead and bring that up when you got it, Matt. We're going to take a little break and then come back with another question, and then we're going to have everybody give you all an opportunity to have a little speech. All right?
I'm going to insist on doing that next, after the break.
Thank you. Go ahead and bring that all the way up. Take us out. So, coming back here to the second part of the candidates forum. We're here at KBOO.FM. We open up the phone lines to anybody who wants to call in with a question. We've got a little bit of time constraint. We've got 8 members here. And the phone number is 503-231-8187 if you have a question. I know, Michael, you were concerned about being able to respond to other candidates' response. I stepped on you, and that is because we are 8 people here. We do want – my goal is to get as much information out about you all. So –
and something that everybody can speak to, and not just a few people can.
Three of us who were stepped on, and we need to ask.
I understand it. And then at the end, you'll have an opportunity to make a 1 to 2 minute speech. Shorter the better because of the time constraint. But because of that time constraint, Cicely, go ahead and throw your next question out to our candidates, please.
My next question is, I'm going to start with Glenn Owen here, and my question is, what role do you see KBOO's web presence playing in the future of the station?
Possibly the leading role. I tend to see the broadcast service actually as kind of advertising for a wider variety of programming on the web. That's something that I was pushing when I was active here a couple of years ago.
Okay, thank you. Next, this is going to be Scott Forrester answering that same question about the web presence.
Yeah, thanks for sharing the microphone. Well, we may disagree, the slate of Morikawa, myself, Chris Andre, and Michael Papadopoulos, but we agreed to work together on the board. So please do vote for us. And along those lines, the idea is that I'm concerned that the web does not replace local content. As long as we have firm roots in the community reflecting the diversity of the issues, we can always bring in international and national issues and put that through like I did in my program, which is I would take those issues and then put them through the strainer of local issues so that we can actually learn what's going on here in the street. So the web has a lot of promise, but we are a community radio station that's terrestrially based, and although our reach can be worldwide, we always have to have the roots right here in this community.
Okay, thank you, Scott Forrester. Michael Papadopoulos.
Okay, I want to tell you about my experience with running a listserv for the Grassroots Community Radio.
Okay.
We've been running that for 10 years. There are people in that community who work with community stations of all kinds who tell us about their problems and tell us about how they resolve their problems. And we communicate. And we should be doing that as a station to our membership. 5,000 members is a bunch of people who ought to be on one subscription list without moderation so that they can say what they want, when they want it, and be heard. That's entirely feasible, and that links in with the web presence, of course.
Thank you. Nia Lewis, same question, web presence, where it's going?
Yeah, I think KBOO's got a good start on the web presence. I think there's a lot that can be done to get it streamlined with easy accessibility for our users that makes it more user-friendly and accessible. But I also see KBOO's web presence being more of an interactive media source for our listeners, which I think would be great. We stream live, but even beyond that. So people call in, well, they can also, you know, email in or do things like that, I think would be very good for KBOO as a whole.
Thank you, Nia. Maura Cullen, same question.
I agree with Scott that our biggest concern should be keeping the programming locally, try to keep syndicated shows to an absolute minimum. And as a recovering Luddite, I think that I'll be able to keep an eye on the interests of people who maybe, for whatever reason, don't have access to computers and depend on KBOO in a way that people with computers don't need to for their news and their information about the community. I would certainly always keep my first emphasis on the radio because this is something that is irreplaceable as a gem in this community. So my first interest would always be in the radio programming, but certainly there's great opportunities with the web presence as well. As Nia said about outreach, interactive programming would be awesome. And, I think that people better able than I could speak to some of the future as far as technology, but I always want everything that we do on the web to be accessible to people who are strictly listening to the radio as well. I don't want our radio listeners to feel like they're getting left out of half of the life of the station because for whatever reason they don't have a computer.
Thank you, Maura. Chris Andre.
Well, the interactive issue is really key, and I think that's obviously the direction that the web itself as a whole is going. I'd love to see the KBOO website perhaps offer various areas to which members have access, maybe through a password, so that membership, we could use it to increase membership as people, as listeners come on board. They would be able to, for example, access a like language classes or some kind of a community barter forum. I think that we could provide a great deal of information, like, for example, emergency information, that sort of thing. It could definitely be a tool for teaching. I'd also like to see us use some type of search engine optimization so that, for example, if someone is just goofing around typing things in a search engine, say bicycles, Cabo's Bike Show or something like that would come up. I don't know how search engine optimization itself works, but I think it's a very good idea, and one that we really ought to explore. And of course, all of this stuff is evolving and changing all the time. We need to be flexible and in a position to use everything that comes to us the moment it comes to us, so that there's not so much lag time and between being confronted with a decision that should be do this or not with the web and trying it. If it doesn't work, don't have to keep up with it, but at least to try. But I love the idea of language and barter and all kinds of informational fora being available to members, and make it easy. If someone really wants a language class and they're not a member, click here, become a member right now, and then you have access to it.
Okay, thank you, Chris Andre.
Thank you.
We're going to go to Mimi with the same question about the web presence.
And we actually have two callers, so hang on, callers. We'll get to you just in a moment.
We're going
to
finish this quickly.
Okay, I think the web presence is extremely important. I think it's wonderful for people to be able to access it from anywhere, to access shows that they were not able to listen to or did not know existed. I also think it's a possible venue for some kind of children's programming in the future, which that's TikToking in my head as an idea. I think it could be useful for parents to use at any time. And I think, well, people might get upset if you started putting children's programming, on certain mornings of the day instead of other programs. Sorry, where was I?
On the internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's an extremely useful tool that has so many possibilities. And like Chris said, it deserves to be tried.
Thank you, Mimi. And last but certainly not least, we have Paula Small to answer that same question.
Thank you. I agree with everyone so far. KBOO's web presence, I don't see as usurping or overtaking the radio presence whatsoever. It is a community radio station, first and foremost. But I do see it as a compliment and a welcome compliment for people like myself who may work during the day or at night or not have access to a radio. Then you can easily turn around and stream your favorite KBOO program. There's also the community calendar, which is also available via the web. And again, if you're not able to catch the community calendar during the day when it runs, you can actually access the audio as well as the text, which I think is very valuable for people who may not have accessibility in other areas. So I see it as another way for KBOO to, again, outreach to the community at large, which is the KBOO community.
Sweet. Thank you. So we have a little bit of time constraint. We've got two callers. This is what I'm going to propose. If we could get the questions from the callers.
Our members.
Who are our members. And then each one of you will start off and do your final statements. If you can include that question in your final statement, please do. I would love to make this so we can go as long as we can. We can't, though.
Matt, we have Michael and Grace on the phone.
If you want to bring up the first caller, caller, who are you, please?
We have Michael on the line.
Right.
Good evening, Michael.
Hi. Well, geez, I have a lot to say.
I'm going to have to ask you to just, if you have a specific question, put it out there. We have a time constraint. I'd like to give the candidates all an opportunity to speak.
Okay, well, I guess my first question would be, can you have another forum so that you can involve members,
yes,
so that we can get educated,
yes,
information to be able to vote? Because there's so much controversy that's going on with this law thing that I understand that you can't answer the questions. But
so what I would recommend then is you contact Chris Merrick, who is the program director
I
believe the acting station manager at this point, while Arthur Davis is out of town. So that's the only way I know that another forum could be done.
Well, which local programs? Okay, I'm going to assume that Amy Goodman is a given. That even though it's not a local show, that's... Hello?
Hello.
You're still on the air, sir.
I'm going to assume that everyone would agree that Amy Goodman's show, even though it's not local, is one that will forgive.
Could you put this in a question?
So given that, which of the other shows would not fit in with local? I mean, I agree with local programming and everything, but I wonder which shows the people who are there feel should not be part of community cable show.
Thank you. Grace, sorry, we're not going to be able to get to your question. If in your final statements here, we're going to go around quick. You only got about a minute to fit it all in. Glenn, local programs, what's your...
I think we start with Scott this time.
Oh, thank you. Scott?
Yes.
Quickly, I
think it's up to the... It's up to the member owners to decide what programs, and we need to have this communication, which is what we're talking about, plus transparency. But I wanted to say in response to yesterday's show, in response to banning from the station, I'm glad to answer this question in light of the misinformation being circulated about this issue. Yes, I have been banned from KABU, and in the official statement that KABU has issued for this action, it is myself and another member, Michael Papadopoulos, who have been banned because we filed a lawsuit on behalf of KABU and its member owners to require the organization to follow the law. This lawsuit has been brought on behalf of the organization by fellow members to address violations of law by individual board members and the court to prevent illegal activity. The parties bringing that type of lawsuit do so only to bring about legal compliance and do not get any personal benefit or money. That's the reason I've been banned from this station, because the current board members do not want to comply with the law pertaining to nonprofit organizations. I have copies of court papers and documents of these legal violations. I'd be happy to share with anyone. My email is clackamas9@aol.com, and my phone is 503-492-1593. And in closing, when you hear that KABU has banned myself and other members from the station only because we want the organization to follow the law, the real question that we ought to be asking is, why won't the current KABU board follow the law, and why are they refusing members the rights of oversight and the threat that we are supposed to be providing KABU bylaws and the nonprofit laws in the state of Oregon? I mean, why can't we provide oversight? And then lastly, why are they against the members on these issues? I mean, that's why I'm running for a board, in part because I love KABU. I bring this lawsuit out of love and admiration and long-term hope for this organization. And we need board members who support member owners and their rights and not to oppose membership oversight of the organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott Forrester. Mr. Papadopoulos?
I want to support everything that Scott just said. I want to add that as a director, like all the other directors of KABU, we have duties to the members. We have a duty of care. If we, as individuals, learn that there is some hanky-panky going on, our duty is to find out whether it is going on and to do something about it if it is, and not to be shut out by the rest of the board members for being whistleblowers and being banned from the station. We have a duty of obedience to the law and to the bylaws. And if we raise a question and we say to the other board members, shouldn't we ask for legal advice? And they say, oh, we don't have to. Legal advice costs money. We know what we want to do. And that's where they get into trouble. That's what this lawsuit is all about. That's why KABU is going to have to pay money, not to us. It's going to pay money to the attorneys. It's going to save the other board members, maybe, from having to pay for their own attorneys, which we'd hope to correct on a later date. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Papadopoulos. Nia Lewis.
Hi, thanks. As far as programming is concerned, I think that KABU should be all-inclusive in regards to its programming, or at least give it a shot to see how it goes, as long as it upholds KABU's programming charter. That's why we're here. KABU is a community radio station. It's not mainstream media, so we need to uphold that charter of serving the un and underserved. As far as another forum for discussion, there is also the September 12th meeting where members can personally ask questions for people running for the board if another forum is not an option. So that is an option for members to go and connect and ask questions for the people running.
Thank you for that, Nia. Next, Maura Cullen. Final statement?
Yes, thank you. Once again, I want to say that I will be supporting Chris Andre, Scott Forrester, and Michael Papadopoulos. You guys have my vote anyway. And I hope that I can have your vote, you out there that took the time to listen this evening. I'd love to see us have an opportunity to come back and do this again. I'm seeing nodding heads around the table, so let's try to really get another candidates forum if we can, maybe for next week. I have to say that I thought it was disgraceful that Judy Feastel used official KABU election literature to slander a fellow volunteer whose only crime was asking uncomfortable questions. He certainly hasn't been proved to have harmed the station in any way, and for her to have said that, I thought was really beyond the pale. I'm concerned about the amassing of power by other than our owners, and I'm concerned about conflicts of interest by people who are paid to work here and who are actually here to help the volunteers and the listeners make better community radio. We're not here to provide them with a living. They're here to help us, and I think we need to start remembering that a little bit more. And we just got to keep it honest and transparent and as democratic as possible. And I hope that you will all think about that and tell your friends and vote your conscience.
Thank you, Maura Cullen. Chris Andre.
Well, this is going to be an interesting board election, and I would see my own candidacy as an independent effort to establish KABU on the edge where everything happens and where change really takes place. I'd like to see more transparency. I'd like to see a members ombudsperson, more flexibility and a general willingness to try new things. Participation in KABU, of course, is essentially an act of sharing. And whenever one shares or gives of oneself, it strengthens everyone. More could be done to promote that. More could be done to promote connections. And I think that essentially we need to redefine what we mean by community, open it up, as I said before, blow the doors off. Everyone is the KABU community. I am uncomfortable with the canned content. I don't think we necessarily need as much syndicated programming as we have invited in. It seems a dangerous road to head down. A lot of it, in my opinion, is what would be termed permitted dissent. In other words, if it really were dissent, it wouldn't be on the air. It's not dangerous enough, and that's what we should be doing. We should be promoting that. I'd also like to just tell members, or don't rush to judge people. Inform yourself. Scott Forrester, Michael Papadopoulos have put themselves out on the edge, and they've taken essentially a dangerous position, and they've done it, I believe, out of love for the station and concern for its future. I think there's a great deal of misunderstanding, and there have been some harsh words said. That's really beneath us, and we really, at this point, in order to get on with this very, very important board election, we have to transcend judgment. And again, edge is where it all happens. This is a term from permaculture, which I'm involved with, and I'd like to see KABU being at the forefront of everything that concept implies. Thank you all so very much. This has been a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. I love talking to members. I love listening to members even more. I'd like to be able to take questions, but I really want to thank everyone who made this possible. In my case, of course, KABU went out of its way to make it possible because I'm here in Troutdale, not at the station. And thanks again to everyone who made that happen.
Thank you, Chris. Just need to let everybody know that you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. It's 8:02. We're running. We're going to run a little bit long, so all the candidates here can get their final statements in. Cicely,
we are now going to Mimi Viarca.
Viarki.
Sorry.
So I want to address the caller's question and tell him that because one person doesn't want a certain show on the air doesn't mean that it's going to go off the air. I believe there are 12 board members and more than that in people who make decisions. So be careful about that. I want to let everybody know that I support inclusiveness in KBOO, and I think that we can all work to achieve more inclusiveness by getting to know other people in the station as well as out of the station. I think one way to do that is to ask volunteers who begin, you know, in addition to other assignments that they have to do, to ask them to actually listen to two shows, you know, that they've never heard about. Make comments on internet, you know, talk about their experience. I think that is one way of promoting inclusiveness, however small, you know, a way it is, I realize. I've been volunteering since April, and I would love to expand my activities to include the board and take on more responsibility in the station. So I hope you'll give me that opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mimi. And Paula?
Yes. I wanted to also address Michael the caller's question about syndication versus local programming. I am a proponent of local programming, so in that way I concur with most of the candidates who have spoken thus far about it. I do not believe that you need to do away with the syndicated programming necessarily if that's what the listeners want. However, I do believe that finding local alternatives would be in KBOO and the community's best interest because sustainability starts at home. That's my opinion. Unofficially, apparently.
That was pretty official.
Okay, and officially. But yeah, I definitely believe in the homegrown, homespun sort of programming, and because KBOO started as a grassroots and is supposed to be a grassroots organization as well. And my final statement is basically to please vote for whomever you believe represents your interests best. Whether it's one candidate or collective, it's really about serving you, the listener members especially, and hopefully those who will be listener members for the next 3 years. So remember that as well. It's not a 1 year, it's not a 6 month, it's not a temporary run. It is for a 3 year period, which is a long time to represent a community. So please send in your ballot or bring it on the 26th of this month. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula Small. And Glenn?
You've heard it's Scott and Chris.
Okay.
All right. Well, then that concludes the second half of our candidate forum. Last night's forum with candidates Marty Sowerman and Judy Feistel is available on the KBOO website, and tonight's forum will be there as well for listening or download at kboo.fm/governance, GOVERNANCE. Remember to vote for KBOO's board of directors either by mail or at the annual meeting, which will be held on Saturday, September 26th at Liberty Hall, which is located at 311 North Ivy Street in Portland.
If you vote by mail, your ballot must be received no later than 5 p.m. on Friday, September 25th. If you vote at the annual meeting, your ballot must be cast by 2 p.m. on Saturday, September 26th. I would like to say thank you to all of you listeners and listener members out there for supporting democracy in action at your community radio station, KBOO, in Portland, Corvallis, and Hood River, and of course online at kboo.fm. And I would like to thank all of the candidates, Mimi Viarki, Paula Small, Glenn Owen, Scott Forrester, Michael Papadopoulos, Nia Lewis, Maura Cullen, and of course Chris Andre. Good night, Randall.
Good night, Cicely, and thank you, Matt. Stay tuned for KBOO. It's your station. This is where you get it all.
Thanks, KBOO.
Thanks, Kabu.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
This was Randall Alexander.